but that's the old me. Shouting out of my window, throat down, 'cause I don't care anymore. Said I don't care.
Let's go. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great Saturday. Hope we can make your Saturday even just a little bit better by, we're going to do something a little different this week. We're not going to bring you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. We got a couple of special shows we want to do for you kicking off this week, and we're going to continue into next week, kind of taking an in-depth look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's been a few weeks now, so we've had some time to sit with the inductees for 2024 that will be inducted into the Rock and Roll of Fame on Saturday, October 19th in Cleveland, Ohio, which will be live streamed on Disney Plus, something new they started doing last year. It used to be you had to wait until they gave you an edited special made up of the Rock and Roll Hall induction highlights. But now we get to see the entire thing streaming live on Disney Plus. So thank you for streaming. That's awesome. And we're just going to kind of look at today. We're going to look at the inductees for 2024 and what we think about them. Next week, we're going to get into some of the many oversights that have existed for the long running tally of the Hall of Fame. Some artists that are being missed out in all of this hullabaloo and hoopla of celebrating the greatest artists in popular music. We'll get into this a little bit too, I'm sure. But the name Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, some people get really focused on that. And it's like, well, that's not a rock artist. Well, it's the Popular Music Hall of Fame from 1950 to the present. That's what it really is. But it's the rock and roll era. We call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's fine. Anyway, joining me to have this discussion, as he does so very often, please welcome from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
I'm really liking the fact that streaming services are getting into the live streaming game. I think that's fantastic. It's a market that has been sorely lacking, especially for us cord cutters that haven't had cable in a long time. But for the past couple of weeks, you and I have been kind of veering off into the conversations about music, and that's, you know, as you being a former music journalist and me being a longtime listener of music and somebody who enjoys writing songs and stuff like that, it's probably clear to the listeners that we're both huge fans of music, so I love an opportunity to be able to talk about it. And we're talking about some all-time bangers. I mean, some of these artists that are being inducted, whether or not, as you said, they fit the category of rock and roll or not, I think they all certainly deserve some level of acknowledgement for their contributions to music over the years. So I'm looking forward to talking about this year's inductees, which you kind of just, not to put too fine a point on it, but your whole feeling about this 2024 inductee list.
Well, before we get into that, I want to just explain a couple things about the Hall of Fame that people may or may not know. So okay. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you're eligible as an artist to be enshrined in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 25 years after your first recording is released.
Now, is that the only requirement, is that you have to at least be 25 years old?
At least 25 years since the first recording release. Now, that recording release does not mean album. Sometimes it doesn't even necessarily mean single. It can be like a self-released thing or something like that.
Interesting.
Like it kind of depends a little bit on the band and that sort of thing. So like a great example, Nirvana. Nirvana got in 25 years after their first single was released, which was well before anybody had actually heard of Nirvana. So it seemed like
what
they got
in. What was their first single? Was it Bleach?
It was before Bleach was their first album. So this was like a little 7-inch before Bleach even came out.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And, it's interesting too, because they kind of name the members that are going to be inducted. And in this case, you know, Nirvana's eligibility was based on that first single, which was a couple years before Dave Grohl joined the band. Dave Grohl was inducted as a member of Nirvana, and they did not induct the original drummer of Nirvana who played on that record.
Interesting.
So there's some politics in all that too. I will fight you if you tell me Dave Grohl does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, because he does. He deserves to be in with Nirvana and Foo Fighters, and he is in with Nirvana and Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there. So you've got that going on. The second thing I want to talk about real quickly is just how this induction process happens, because a lot of people put a lot of weight on this whole fan vote thing, which has only been something they've been doing for the last few years. The Hall of Fame has been around for a while now. It used to be that they still do it this way. So it's not even used to be, but they've just added this fan vote thing to it. There is a nominating committee. The committee comes up with a list of eligible performers that they put into nomination for the Hall of Fame. So every year you get, usually towards the start of the year, you get a longer list than you're going to hear right now of artists that are being nominated for the Hall of Fame this year. They have to get a certain amount of the nominating committee getting behind them to get onto the ballot, basically. And then that ballot is put out to the voting membership of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which consists of musicians and music journalists and critics and that sort of thing. So, you know, producers, label executives, people that are in the music business, because it's a Hall of Fame. You know, the people. Yeah. So it is a kind of a selection by peers to some extent. Now, a while back, like I said, they added a fan vote. People get it in their head that the artist that wins the fan vote should automatically get in. The fan vote is not counted as these are the votes for the Hall of Fame. The total of the fan vote, the top five vote getters of the fan vote, are counted as one ballot amongst all the voting members. So, like, everybody that's a voting member of the Hall of Fame gets a ballot.
Right.
All of the sum total of all the fan votes get one ballot that is equal to one vote that is weighed equally with each of the voting members of the Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
So it's not, oh, well, you know, the big controversy a few years ago was Dave Matthews' Band winning the fan vote and then not getting inducted. And so, okay, they got one vote. Congratulations.
Yeah, why not give an audience choice award? Does it almost make sense that if they're going to do that, to just give it its own category and be like, the honorary inductee this year goes to whoever?
Well, you know what? They already have that. It's called record sales.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's called, it's called concert ticket sales. It's called, that already exists. It's, you know, it's not a people's choice kind of thing, you know, but they, you know, they've given the fans a voice, but it's a very small voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the fans don't get a say in the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame or, you know, any other, you know, Hall of Fame. So, you know, you get more of a say in this than you do in others. But yeah, the fan vote does not necessarily reflect what's actually going to, it reflects one ballot. So that's what happened a few years ago with Dave Matthews' Band. And it's happened some other times where some artists that have placed well in the fan vote didn't get in. I think that happened this year with Iron Maiden, if I'm not mistaken, who've been nominated a couple of times and haven't gotten in yet. So hopefully you understand a little bit more about the process now.
So, you know, I know I do.
There's a little bit of inside baseball here, for lack of a better term, that goes on with this. You know, It does lead some people to question whether the Hall has any credibility, or whether it's this whole thing of weighing popularity and influence and longevity and what makes somebody an all-time great. And
versus
I think
these committees of people who may or may not even have. I just don't know. That's what makes it kind of seem arbitrary to me, to the point that I almost feel like a ranked voting system would be more indicative of what society really cares about. I don't know. I feel this way about Oscars as well. Do you think the fans not having a big vote keeps it more pure, or do you think it kind of dilutes it?
It can be swayed either way, to be honest. And there are years that it has definitely been swayed based on personalities that were involved in the Hall of Fame, some of whom are no longer involved with the Hall of Fame, like Jan Wenner, the co-founder of Rolling Stone magazine, who definitely had his own agenda for this kind of thing. I think we weeded a lot of that out, but we actually have to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
bubbling after.
Just some original sound.
Rip away the tears.
Drink a hope to happy years.
You may find a lifetime's passed you by.
What would you say?
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. Let me just say, first of all, that I am playing the Dave Matthews Band under duress. I am not a DMB guy, but we mentioned them in the opening there, and we mentioned them as having been a past winner of the fan vote for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that did not get inducted that year. However, they did get inducted. They are getting inducted this year. They are one of the inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2024. And, you know, Jeremy, you kind of alluded to what my overall opinion of this year's class going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. And
I did.
I would have to say that overall my answer to that is meh.
A resounding meh from Julio Diaz on the 2024 inductees. All right, well, yeah. Fair enough. How do you feel about Dave Matthews Band?
I mean, I think it is the definition of meh. I think, yeah, I get that they're hugely popular. I get that, you know, they have a great fan base. They're kind of like the, although a more poppy answer to, they are kind of the modern day answer to the Grateful Dead.
Sure. I think a lot of people kind of clumped them in with the Fish and the Grateful Dead, and for good reasons. They're kind of an outdoor festival kind of band. In my opinion, like the quintessential 90s college band, you know, like, and I when their first singles came out, I actively despise Dave Matthews Band. I got into college. I met this guitar player. He and I started hanging out. He reintroduced me to the band. And as somebody who loves a good drummer, I think Carter Beauford is one of the best in the biz. He does some really interesting stuff. And I was kind of telling you on the break, I like some of Dave's singles, but I almost feel like the best Dave Matthews Band is the stuff that's kind of buried in the discography. It's the songs on the albums that never got singles, like Two Step off Crash is just an incredible song. So I understand the knee-jerk reaction. I got to ask, have you ever listened past the singles?
Dude, it's noodly music for noodly people. I mean, I feel the same way about the Grateful Dead. Yeah, so it's, I mean, I get that I have a blind spot on the whole jam band thing. I respect the musicianship. I do. I know I'm being dismissive, but I do really respect the musicianship. It's just not for me.
And I know what you're talking about, and that resonates with me. I don't like the noodly bands so much either. I can't listen to Fish. It might as well all be one song. Dave Matthews does that similar thing, but I feel like, and a little biased here, but I feel like it's elevated in the fact that there's so many musicians. There's fiddle players, there's horn players, there's this just incredible drummer, and it all it's a vibe, man. I really do like it. I think just based on influence alone, Dave Matthews Band is a well-earned spot.
Okay, who would you say Dave Matthews Band is an influence on? Like, give me some artists, like younger artists that you think are following in the footsteps of Dave Matthews, because that's one of the things here. I think influence is a big part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm not seeing it.
I think that's fair, but I also think we could point to people like, and I'm not saying for better or worse, people like Jack Johnson, Jason Mraz, a lot of the kind of beachy rock music, pop music that came out.
Okay, that's
kind
not
of
unfair.
Preceding them.
That's not unfair. All right, well, we've got a lot of artists to get to, so let's move on. And this is another one that's just like, I'm very much like, wow, this is just the definition of just letting in mediocrity just because they had some hit singles and people kind of remember some of them. Foreigner.
Okay. Julio, man, you're just starting off hot, brother. What's your beef with Foreigner?
You know what the difference between Foreigner and a Foreigner cover band is?
No, hit me.
I'd pay $4 to see a Foreigner cover band.
Stop.
I just
All right.
Here's the thing.
You
all
name
right.
a bad song.
I want to know what love is.
All right, fair.
That song
fair.
Is just
Double
terrible.
Vision on the positive side.
I mean, I won't deny that there's a couple of Foreigner songs that are bangers. Jukebox Hero is a banger.
It's a great song.
Urgent's a banger.
It's a great song.
But then you got...
Waiting for a Girl Like You?
No.
All right.
It's just, it's generic background, late 70s, early 80s rock music. And again, I point to who's this influencing?
That is a fair question. 1987's Say You Will is always going to be quintessential 80s, like soundtrack to my life kind of music. I was very young when it came out, but
most people would say that's after Foreigner's prime.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, here's the thing with Foreigner. I really believe the main reason Foreigner got in is because Mick Jones from Foreigner, who by the way is by far the second coolest Mick Jones who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because there's a guy named Mick Jones in the Clash who definitely belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, happens to be the stepfather of a very well-known and influential musician and producer named Mark Ronson.
Heard of him.
And so I think Mark Ronson really kind of lobbied to get old stepdad into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, clearly it worked because they're in. This is their first time even being nominated. And they're in. Now, granted, they've been eligible for freaking ever. But, and I recognize, too, that there is a lot of, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, that Jan Wenner in particular was very down on a lot of the 80s acts and repressed a lot of 80s acts for getting into the Hall of Fame when he had sway. And it's why artists like Rush and the Go-Go's and Duran Duran took so much longer to get in than they should have. So you can make the argument that Foreigner falls into that same kind of group, but there are times when it made sense to repress people from being in the Hall of Fame, and there are times when it didn't. This was one like, it's like, all right, is it a Hall of Fame or is it just a hall of, yeah, here's some bands we remember.
And to say that I like a couple of Foreigner singles, this is the opposite scenario of Dave Matthews Band. I've never listened to a Foreigner album, but there are four or five singles on their list of 25 that I'm like, those songs are really good. So I'm speaking from a place of kind of ignorance, but I really do like some of their songs. What else?
Well, I mean, I think that's the overall thing here, too. I think that it's very fair to say that Foreigner is a singles band. I mean, I even mentioned a couple songs like, yeah, you can't deny the appeal of that song. But, all right, now what?
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of bands in that era that I feel that way about. I feel that way about Journey. You know, it's it's like, okay, that's... And Journey's like on that weird... Journey is the exact middle ground between Dave Matthews Band and Foreigner.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They've got that noodly side and that, you know, like generic 80s rock side. And it's like two kind of blah things that taste kind of blah together.
All right, moving on. We got more.
Yeah. The next one I'm going to mention, this is one I can't really argue with, but I don't feel strongly about either.
Whose heart are you going to break now, Julio?
It's Cher.
I got you, babe.
I mean, all right. Incredible career longevity. The only female artist in history to have a number one on a Billboard chart in 7 consecutive decades.
I didn't realize that. That's unreal.
The longevity part, you cannot disagree with whatsoever. Pretty influential, I'd say. Pretty popular, I'd say. It's not one that I can really argue against. But at the same time, it's like, okay, like, what's your go-to Cher classic?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah, I mean, and let's put aside the fact that like Sonny Bono, who wrote all the early stuff when it was Sonny and Cher, is not in at all. You know,
I'm going with Turn Back Time as the one Cher song that I really like, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like said, I can't argue against her. She's an icon. She deserves to be an icon. Should she be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel really emotional about it one way or the other? Not really. Like,
all right, we're on the same page.
I'm happy for her. And, you know, she in the past has made some comments about like, well, you know, to hell with those people because they're being really hugely disrespectful by not including me. And I wouldn't have them if they asked me. And now she's kind of backpedaled a little bit. She's like, all right, I'm going to show up and accept the award, but I'm going to say something about it. And I kind of appreciate.
100 years old, yeah.
Like that I kind of appreciate because that's rock and roll.
Yes,
like
is,
rock and roll is rock and roll is more than a sound or a type of music. It's an attitude, and like that's the attitude that I kind of want to see. Like you're giving me this award, okay? Yeah, well, here's my middle finger along with the award. Yeah, I can kind of respect that. I can kind of get with that. Another one that I'm kind of in that same boat on, Kool & the Gang. Like again, amazing singles, definitely, you know, and I would say you may be a little more influential than some of the other acts we've talked about so far, but doesn't really feel like that rock and roll spirit to me either.
No, good usage of samples over the years. I'm trying to look up a bunch of their singles. I mean, yeah, obviously Jungle Boogie.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where you get into the influence part. It's definitely looking at, you know, the amount of they've been sampled and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think a lot of us tend to get hemmed into that, like, more 80s, like, R&B, like the Celebration, Joanna, Misled, that kind of Too Hot, that kind of, like, almost smooth jazzy kind of side of Kool & the Gang.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Again, you know, can't deny that they probably belong, but am I excited about it? Not so much. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branchless on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube, and we are talking about the impending Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions that will be coming up on October 19th. And there is an artist that you might have assumed has long been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a name that is more or less synonymous with rock and roll, Ozzy Osbourne. Now, technically, Ozzy Osbourne is already in the Hall of Fame as a member of Black Sabbath. So Black Sabbath was inducted a few years back. So Ozzy's in as a member of Black Sabbath, but he is getting in 2014, finally, as a 2024, excuse me, as a solo artist. Again, solo career that has spanned decades. I don't think you can deny that Ozzy is hugely influential and, like I said, absolutely an icon. And, you know, the guitarist that played on that song, Randy Rhoads, the late, great Randy Rhoads, was inducted last year in the musical excellence category. it's been kind of a longstanding oversight that Ozzy belongs in the Hall of Fame and that it hasn't happened yet. So I am glad to see that happen, but I kind of feel like, yeah, okay, you should have done that a long time ago. What do you think, Jeremy?
It's one of those things where they kind of did. I mean, to acknowledge Black Sabbath is to acknowledge Ozzy's contributions to Black Sabbath. And if we're being honest, Black Sabbath is the superior version of Ozzy. I mean, anecdotally, in 1997, I went to see Ozfest down in Orlando. And I remember being like, we got to stick around for them to play Crazy Train. And the guy that was there with us, he's like, dude, that's a Black Sabbath song. And I was like, all right, we're out. And that was it.
Dude,
like,
was
what else am I saying for? Mama, I'm coming home.
Dude was incorrect. Well, first
what,
of all, okay, hold on. I'm going to go to bat for Mama, I'm Coming Home, because that song is co-written by somebody who should absolutely be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead. But
I don't care.
But you can't really deny that Ozzy has a place, right?
No, I totally agree there. Totally agreed with you on that part.
There are lots of other artists who are in with the band that they were in and then for their solo careers. And I think Ozzy deserves it as much as anybody else that has that same distinction, I think. I think that's fair. Another artist I can't really argue with, although it's kind of like, yeah, this is one you probably should have put in a long time ago. And okay, Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
Incredible guitarist.
Revolutionary.
Yeah, incredible guitarist. There's no arguing with it. You know, you could not emerge from the 70s without owning a copy of Frampton Comes Alive. It was required. You know, it's like, you know, turning 18 and registering for the draft if you're a young man. It's just one of those things that's required.
I don't have anything in front of me. The only Peter Frampton song that I can think of is the Do You Feel Like I Do song.
So you got that. You got Baby, I Love Your Way.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I mean, those are the ones that people are going to remember. They're the ones that were like the big showy pieces off Frampton Comes Alive, where he's got the talk box guitar. And
yeah, that was that the big thing.
Yeah, innovative. Yeah. Career longevity, not just solo work, but he's played with so many other people and continues to tour and be out there. It's one I can't argue with. It's one that probably should have been in the Hall of Fame 10, 15 years ago. I'm not super excited about it, but I understand it.
Yeah, agreed.
I get it. Cool. We're good.
That's your vibe this episode, dude.
It's your 2024 induction vibe. It's a lot of either absolutely not or yeah. So like there's just nothing I'm excited about. Like there were artists that were nominated this year that I was excited about that just didn't get in. Now there's one that's been on my longstanding why isn't this act in yet list that did get in this year. We'll talk about it a little later because I'm definitely going to take the prerogative of playing some of their music. So we'll talk about them in the last segment. But the only one, so I didn't mention this at the start and I meant to. There are multiple categories in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that you can get in as well. There's the performer category, which is the main voted upon category, which is all the artists we've been talking about so far. Then there are several other categories that are decided by committee. So you've got the Musical Influence Award, which is supposed to be for influential artists that maybe just don't have the support of... It started out as like an early influences kind of category, but as we've gone on, it has become just an influences over time kind of category. Inductees in that category this year, John Mayall, who again is another one they tried to get in the performer category forever with his band, the Blues Breakers, that never got in. He's getting in for Musical Influence now. Big Mama Thornton, who was an early R&B songwriter and singer that was the original vocalist on Hound Dog before Elvis got a hold of it.
Mm.
Can't really argue with that. Alexis Korner, don't know much about that artist, but so I can't really argue one way or the other about that. You have the Ahmet Ertuğrul Award, which is presented to somebody on the business side. Sometimes that person is well known. Sometimes that person a little less known. This year it's going to someone named Suzanne DePlace. I will admit that I do not know much about. Excuse me, Suzanne DePlace. And I will admit I don't know much about her career. So
there
are other people that I actually have a list in my head that I've been running for some time of people that should be in on that category that are not in. And the top of that list is Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
How do you not have Casey Kasem in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, just come on. But that's a whole nother story.
If Shaggy, the artist, gets in before Casey Kasem, the world will somehow collapse on itself due to some sort of weird meta commentary on the fact that Casey Kasem voiced Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't think we have to worry too much about about the artist Shaggy getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mr.
But, you know,
Boombastic?
Who knows? What's that?
I said Mr. Boombastic.
Okay, name five other Shaggy songs.
It Wasn't Me.
Okay,
that's
two.
Those two. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
All right. You got Angel, so that got me to three.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
All right, now name another one.
That's literally the only songs he's ever made. He had one single album with three songs on it, and that was it. Came just, out over a 30-year span.
They just repeat the same three songs over and over. Nah. I mean, that's... I have actually seen Shaggy live, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, at Bayfest in Mobile.
Okay.
Mostly because I was waiting for Duran Duran to go on stage.
That makes a lot of sense.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Duran Duran, who do belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Very, very glad to see that they're in there. So then you have, we mentioned those things. You've got the Musical Excellence Award. Now, this is, again, this is something that is... presented by a committee, and it, a lot of times lately it has been used to address this person's been nominated a bunch of times, we can't seem to get the full body of to get in on the performer category, once you're on the ballot, you have to get 50% of the people that are voting say, yes, this person should be in. There's not a set number each year or anything like that. It's just everybody that was nominated that year, that 50% or more of the voting body said, yes, let's put that person in. So a lot of times this has been used to honor artists that probably should have gotten in on that vote for whatever reason. They're just not making it over that 50% hurdle and they're getting them in on that. So we've had Nile Rodgers, who got in as a person instead of with the band Chic, and the whole band really deserves to be in, but they've been nominated a bunch of times, haven't gotten in. They got Nile Rodgers in. Last year, Judas Priest got in this way. This year, the two that I think are getting in on that are the long overdue MC5, who unfortunately the final member of just passed away a few weeks ago. So, you know, thanks. That's great that they're finally in. You're way too late here, guys. Because nobody's alive to actually enjoy the honor now, and that
crazy.
Sucks. But an amazing band that are like one of the protogenitors of punk rock. Like they're the along with the Stooges and the Dictators and a couple other bands were like the bands that led to their eventually being punk rock. Incredible, incredible band, and I'm just glad they're finally getting honored, even if they're not getting in a voted category, and they should have. The other one is Dionne Warwick, a legend. Not sure how rock and roll she really is, but again, you know, been nominated a couple of times, hasn't gotten in on the vote. Another one that I'm like, all right, okay, that's a thing that's happening and that's fine and all, but it's one where you really have to remind yourself this is the Popular Music Hall of Fame and rock and roll doesn't necessarily mean rock music.
Yeah, I mean, of all of the inductees that we've discussed so far, I would say Ozzy is the only one that fits neatly into the category of quote-unquote rock and roll.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. Peter Frampton, Foreigner, they're definitely rock bands.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, definitely Frampton.
Yeah, got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, we can.
Well, I'm gone. Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the trial flies high like a dove.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch on the line with us from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube as we continue to discuss the 2024 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that is one that has long been on my list of this artist should be in the Hall of Fame already. A Tribe Called Quest, one of the greatest hip hop acts of all time. Definitely one of the leaders of the socially conscious Afrocentric hip hop movement of the early 90s that sadly has gone very much by the wayside. You know, bands like Tribe and De La Soul, Arrested Development, to some extent, there was like a big movement in hip hop in the early 90s that just kind of got thrown under the bus when Straight Outta Compton came out.
And, yeah.
And, you know, we went into this whole other world of what hip hop has become. But man, Tribe were so, so good. And, you know, I wanted to play that song in particular, Can I Kick It, because it samples another inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Lou Reed, who's inducted as a solo artist in 2015, but also before that as a member of the Velvet Underground. So one of those artists like Ozzy Osbourne that we talked about earlier that's actually in the Hall of Fame twice, deservedly so. You got any argument against the Tribe Called Quest?
I just want to say, when you're shooting from the hip and you're just talking on the radio with very little prep, you say crazy stuff. Like, I didn't even think about the fact that Peter Frampton and Foreigner were rock bands in the last segment. So I want to apologize to all of the people who have not shut off the show yet because of the crazy stuff that I've been saying without thinking, no argument about Tribe. I mean, as it's come up a couple of times and I was kind of referencing back, like, not everything on this list is clear-cut, defined as rock and roll, but as far as just pioneers of a sound, and as you said, the mainstream subgenre of what I always called backpack rap, you know, like you said, socially conscious, kind of positive for the community, kind of elevated, like meant to elevate the listener, meant to make people feel good.
Yeah, you could put the Roots in that category too. Once upon a time, you used to be able to put the Black Eyed Peas in that category, and then they made a big turn.
Common is another person who I would say was kind of in that. Kanye West early stuff was a little like that. So it has there. You can trace a lot of through lines with hip hop music, but you are right, Julio. Like when Dre and N.W.A. came onto the scene and gangster rap kind of became the predominant thing, a lot of this stuff got shifted to the side. Though Tribe did continue to put out albums, you know, for several years. And similar to Dave Matthews Band, Tribe Called Quest is one of the artists that I would just listen to their entire album all the way through. They don't have a ton of, not that I can call out, like, notable singles except for the one that you just now played, but if you ever just want to hear good hip-hop, just let it roll, you know?
I Left My Wallet in El Segundo.
That's was that a
Scenario?
Single?
Yeah.
Scenario, for sure. Scenario.
To quote Scenario, yes, y'all, who got the vibe? It's the Tribe, y'all.
I did not know that I Left My Wallet in El Segundo was a single, maybe I just missed a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and then, just to further add on the Tribe Called Quest, and you want to talk about the influence here, because we did say that's an important part of, you know, who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That particular song, Scenario, introduced the world to Busta Rhymes.
Oh, yeah, good call. Good call.
The Tribe brought in Leaders of the New School on that record with them, and Busta's Spotlight Rhyme on that song pretty much made his career.
And what a phenomenal rapper he is. I mean, speed for sure, but also like cadence and just huge stage presence and all of that stuff that I've always really loved about him. But Tribe is just. The Roots, did you mention The Roots? I feel like we talking about Questlove a moment ago.
Yeah, The Roots should be more than eligible by now. That's a band that I need to think about adding to my never been nominated list, which I unfortunately couldn't add any new artists to this year because nobody on my list from last year got nominated this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we're going to talk about that next week. We'll get into that pretty in depth next week. But I had two on my longstanding been nominated in the past list that actually got in this year, and that was the MC5 and A Tribe Called Quest. So I was able to make room for a couple of previous nominees on my previous nominees list this year, but I could not make any room for any new never been nominated this year, which is part of my reason that I'm very, very on this whole list this year. To round out the performer category, we've got one more artist to mention here. And it's another one where it's like, okay. I mean, and this is somebody that has a title, you know, that she is known as the Queen of Hip Hop Soul. And that is, of course, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, I mean, Family Affair is a banger. Dr. Dre produced that one. It's really, really good. Outside of that, I've never been a huge, just straight up R&B fan. I mean, there are definitely songs within the genre that I like. I'm not trying to dismiss the whole thing, but a lot of times when BLX was playing like mostly the R&B side of things, I kind of just check out. Like soul's a little boring sometimes, but I obviously acknowledge Mary J. Blige's talent, and I wish there were more songs of hers that I could point to and say like that's the reason why she's getting in. Do you have any?
You got things like ones? No Drama, and you know,
it's a good one.
Yeah, the whole What's the 411 album. You know, I mean, she's definitely an artist. She's definitely somebody with career longevity, with influence. You know, I don't really have a whole big argument against her.
Mm-mm.
Other than there's so many other artists that I think are more important that aren't in yet. Like I'm perfectly fine with her being in, but I'm just not hyped about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, that,
so here we are at the end, looking back at the year. Highlights, lowlights. What are your general feelings on
all
this stuff?
Well, we've got a couple. We bounced out of the Musical Excellence Award category, and there's a couple of other artists that. Well, I'm gonna say artists. I'm gonna use that word. Gonna use that word somewhat lightly because, well, one of them I don't really have. You know. A beef with. I just don't really know a whole lot about his work either, and that's Norman Whitfield. He's a songwriter and producer, worked in Motown in the 60s, and was really influential in the psychedelic soul movement. Worked on, you know, again, if you look at the songs that he's involved with, he's just not somebody that is a household name, but Ain't Too Proud to Beg, I Know I'm Losing You, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Cloud Nine, okay. Can't Get Next to You, War, Ball of Confusion, Just My Imagination, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, worked on a lot of Temptations records, started his own label in the 70s that included, it was called Whitfield Records, that released the song Car Wash, all-time disco classic. You know, so can't argue against him, but he's just not a name, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last person is, for better or for worse, definitely a name. Somebody that I don't think has any place being anywhere near any kind of Hall of Fame, but you know what? There's a whole lot of people wearing loud clothing that are going to disagree with me vehemently. And that's Jimmy Buffett.
I love Jimmy Buffett. I love what he represents. He is a Florida icon in a way that I can't think of anybody else.
He's not even from Florida.
I know. It doesn't matter. You go sit on Pensacola Beach, you're going to hear Bob Marley out of one ear, you're going to hear Jimmy Buffett out of the other ear. And he's a boomer legend, dude. I don't love his music, but I love the way that it connects to a culture that's been a part of my life forever. It's beach music, and I love him.
Were you born in Florida, Jeremy?
Yes.
Okay. I was too, and that's one of the things that I've always that has always bothered me about Jimmy Buffett is I think Jimmy Buffett is selling a Florida that doesn't exist, or was, I should say, because of course he's passed away. I think that he has led people to believe that Florida is something that it's not, and
well,
I really, really, really resent that. I really resent that.
Come watch the sailboats at sunset at Paradise on the Beach while the sailboats go by, and you will appreciate what Jimmy Buffett's Florida represents.
There's so much better music that I could be playing to do that same thing that I would enjoy more. I just don't, you know, I want to say I don't mean any disrespect, but in a sense, I kind of do. Like, I mean, like, I respect that the man was an artist, but it's absolutely not for me. And so much of it is so not rock and roll to me.
You have made my blood boil in this segment more than any other. Any conversation we had about Dave, any conversation we had about Foreigner, I am willing to forget just to focus on the hatred that I feel for you right now over this conversation about Jimmy Buffett.
Well, I'll have to take the hatred and leave it at that because we're out of time. Next week, we'll get into some of the artists that we believe belong in the Hall of Fame. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.